We're starting chapter 17 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, called A Sluggish Memory. Late in the afternoon, a few days after New Year, Harry, Ron, and Ginny lined up beside the kitchen fire to return to Hogwarts. The Ministry had arranged this one-off connection to the flu network to return students quickly and safely to the school. Only Mrs. Weasley was there to say goodbye, as Mr. Weasley, Fred, George, Bill, and Fleur were all at work. Mrs. Weasley dissolved into tears at the moment of parting. Admittedly, it took very little to set her off lately. She'd been crying on and off ever since Percy stormed from the house on Christmas Day with his glasses splattered with mashed parsnip, for which Fred, George, and Ginny all claimed credit. "Don't cry, Mum," said Ginny, patting her on the back as Mrs. Weasley sobbed into her shoulder. "It's okay." "Yeah, don't worry about us," said Ron, permitting his mother to plant a very wet kiss on his cheek. "Or about Percy. He's such a prat, it's not really a loss, is it?" Mrs. Weasley sobbed harder than ever as she enfolded Harry in her arms. "Promise me you'll look after yourself. Stay out of trouble." "I always do, Mrs. Weasley," said Harry. "I like a quiet life, you know me." She gave a watery chuckle and stood back. "Be good, then, all of you." Harry stepped into the emerald fire and shouted, "Hogwarts!" He had one last fleeting view of the Weasley's kitchen and Mrs. Weasley's tearful face before the flames engulfed him. Spinning very fast, he caught blurred glimpses of other wizarding rooms, which were whipped out of sight before he could get a proper look, and then he was slowing down, finally stopped squarely in the fireplace in Professor McGonagall's office. She barely glanced up from her work as he clambered out of the grate. "Evening, Potter. Try not to get too much ash on the carpet."
"No, Professor."
Harry straightened his glasses and flattened his hair as Ron came spinning into view. When Ginny had arrived, all three of them trooped out of McGonagall's office and off toward Gryffindor Tower. Harry glanced out of the corridor windows as they passed. The sun was already sinking over the grounds, carpeted in deeper snow than had lain over the Burrow garden. In the distance, he could see Hagrid feeding Buckbeak in front of his cabin.
"Baubles," said Ron confidently,
when they reached the fat lady, who was looking rather paler than usual and winced at his loud voice.
"No," she said.
"What do you mean, no?"
"There's a new password," she said, "and please don't shout."
"We've been away. How are we supposed to?"
"Harry, Ginny." Hermione was hurrying toward them, very pink-faced and wearing a cloak, hat, and gloves.
"I got back a couple of hours ago. I've been just down to visit Hagrid and Witherwings," she said, breathlessly. "Did you have a good, Christmas?"
"Yeah," said Ron at once. "Pretty eventful.
I've got something for you, Harry," said Hermione, neither looking at Ron nor giving any sign that she had heard him. "Oh, hang on. Password. Abstinence."
"Precisely," said the fat lady in a feeble voice and swung forward to reveal the portrait hole.
"What's up with her?" asked Harry.
"Overindulged over Christmas, apparently," said Hermione, rolling her eyes as she led the way into the packed common room. She and her friend Violet drank their way through all the wine in that picture of drunk monks by the charms corridor. "Anyway," she rummaged in her pocket for a moment, and then pulled out a scroll of parchment with Dumbledore's writing on it.
"Great," said Harry, unrolling it at once, to discover that his next lesson with Dumbledore was scheduled for the following night.
"I've got loads to tell him, and you, sit down."
But at that moment, there was a loud squeal of, "Wan Wan!" And Lavender Brown came hurtling out of nowhere and flung herself into Ron's arms. Several onlookers snickered. Hermione gave a tinkling laugh and said, "There's a table over here. Coming, Ginny?"
"No, thanks. I said I'd meet Dean," said Ginny, though Harry could not help noticing she did not sound very enthusiastic.
Leaving Ron and Lavender locked in a kind of vertical wrestling match, Harry led Hermione over to the spare table.
"How was your Christmas?"
"Oh, fine," she shrugged. "Nothing special. How was it at Wan Wan's?"
"I'll tell you in a minute," said Harry.
"Look, Hermione, can't you?"
"No, I can't," she said flatly.
"So don't even ask."
"I thought maybe, you know, over Christmas..."
"It was the fat lady who drank a vat of 500-year-old wine, Harry, not me.
So what was this important news you wanted to tell me? She looked too fierce to argue at the moment, so Harry dropped the subject of Ron and recounted all that he had overheard between Malfoy and Snape. When he had finished, Hermione sat in thought for a moment and then said, "Don't you think..." "He was pretending to offer help so that he could trick Malfoy into telling him what he's doing," Harry finished. "Well, yes," said Hermione. "Ron's dad and Lupin think so," Harry said grudgingly. "But this definitely proves Malfoy's planning something. You can't deny that." "No, I can't," she said slowly. "And he's just acting on Voldemort's orders, like I said." Did either of them actually mention Voldemort's name? Harry frowned, trying to remember. "I'm not sure. Snape definitely said your master, and who else would that be?" "I don't know," said Hermione, biting her lip. "Maybe his father?" She stared across the room, apparently lost in thought, not even noticing Lavender, tickling Ron. "How's Lupin?" "Not great," said Harry, and he told her about Lupin's mission among the werewolves and the difficulties he was facing. "Have you heard of this Fenrir Greyback?" "Yes, I have," said Hermione, sounding startled. "And so have you, Harry." "When? History of Magic? You know full well I never listened." "No, no, not History of Magic. Malfoy threatened Borgin with him," said Hermione. "Back in Nocturnality, don't you remember? He told Borgin that Greyback was an old family friend and that he'd be checking up on Borgin's progress." Harry gaped at her. "I forgot. But this proves Malfoy's a Death Eater. How else can he be in contact with Greyback and telling him what to do?" "It is pretty suspicious," breathed Hermione. "Unless..." "Oh, come on," said Harry in exasperation. "You can't get around this one." "Well, there is a possibility it was an empty threat." "You're unbelievable, you are," said Harry, shaking his head. "We'll see who's right. You'll be eating your words, Hermione, just like the Ministry. Oh yeah, I had a row with Rufus Scrimgeour as well." And the rest of the evening passed amicably, with both of them abusing the Minister of Magic, for Hermione, like Ron, had thought that after all the Ministry had put Harry through the previous year, they had a great deal of nerve asking him for help now. And I think we'll stop there. And I hope you like that, my baby kitten. It's bedtime, I suppose. Sleep well, darling. I love you. Good night.